Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our series of studies on the authority of the King James Bible. Last time we were together, we started to look at the different modern versions, so-called modern versions, and compare it to God's preserved, inspired, inerrant, infallible word, which is the King James Bible. And we began to look at, for example, last time, how many important doctrines are changed by these modern versions. We saw, for example, how the salvation of the Apostle Paul, the dying thief on the cross, and the Ethiopian eunuch were taken away, amen, in the modern versions. We want to pick up and we want to look at that and see how the rejection of Christ is worse than what was done to Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. And we see here, first of all, in the King James Bible, Mark 11, or Mark chapter 6, verse 11, reads, "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. For verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Now notice how the NIV reads in Mark 6:11. "If any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them." I believe it's quite obvious to see how much of the Word of God is left out. Amen. They take out why Christ came to seek and save sinners. They take away the salvation of Paul, we saw. They take away the salvation of the dying thief. And in Mark chapter 6, verse 11, they take away the fact that rejecting Christ will be judged worse than what was done in Sodom and Gomorrah with the Sodomites. Amen? As we continue, we see also that the blessed hope is removed. You know, one of the greatest truths that is yet to be seen is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Paul calls it the blessed hope. Satan has attacked Christ's sinless perfection, his deity, the blood atonement, and many other doctrines. Now the blessed hope is attacked in the modern versions. First, I'm going to read from the King James Bible. In Matthew 25 and verse 13. Matthew 25 and verse number 13. In the Word of God or the King James Bible. "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And of course, that's a reference to the blessed hope, the coming, the second advent of Jesus Christ. Now notice with me how the NIV, or the so-called New International Version, I like to call it the non-inspired version, says what it says in Matthew 25 and verse 13. "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Now the NIV reading is acting like someone needs a watch because they do not need the time. Amen? Notice with me also how the blessed hope is removed here in the John chapter 18, verse 36, in the New American Standard Version. Let's first look at the King James Bible in John 18, 36. In John 18, chapter 18, verse 36, the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 36, King James Bible, Word of God reads, "Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now," see that? We want to see that word now. "But now is my kingdom not from hence." Notice how John chapter 18, verse 36 reads in the New American Standard Version, "Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, that I might not be delivered up to the Jews, but as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Notice that the word, that little word, notice how the word now, N-O-W, is removed. That is a prophetic statement of Christ's future kingdom. And who would want to remove this? Not God the Father, not God the Son, but it's got to be none other than the devil. Now let's look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3 and verse 5 in the King James Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 5 in the King James Bible reads as follows, the following. In the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. See, we see that the doctrine of the blessed hope here, the coming of the Lord is taught here, is proclaimed here in the King James Bible in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. Now look at in the NIV, how that same verse of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5 reads. The NIV says, it reads, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love in Christ's perseverance. See, it takes away, amen, the blessed hope. It takes away the second coming, which is the blessed hope. You take away one of the greatest truths to be known, that Christ is returning. The second coming, which the Bible calls the blessed hope. Now Christ said that he would return, did he not? And I believe he will because he said he would. These new versions cast doubt on the second coming of Jesus Christ, just as the New Agers would have you to believe. We read in John chapter 14, verse 2, King James Bible, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3, John 14. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Christ says he's returning. He's coming. Amen. He's gone right now to prepare a place for every born-again child of God. Amen. So that he can receive us. Amen. And he's going to receive us himself. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Here's something for you to consider. Something for you to consider. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 36... we're told that Jehoiakim took a knife and cut up God's word. In Revelations chapter 22, in verse 19, God said, if anyone would take away from the book of this prophecy, that he would take away his name from the book of life. Could it be that since Jehoiakim cut up God's word, God removed him from his book? Josias is the grandfather of Jeconias, and Josias is the father of Jehoiakim. His name has been removed. Notice with me, if you would. First in Matthew chapter 1, in verse 11, and we're reading from the King James Bible now. Matthew chapter 1, verse 11. And Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. So here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 11, it says, Josias begat Jeconias. Now keep that thought there. Now, we go into Jeremiah now, chapter 36, in verse number 9. We want to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 36, in verse 9. And we read in the Word of God, and it came to pass, in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josias, king of Judah. Now we see then that it's calling Jehoiakim, amen, the son of Josias. In Matthew 1:11, we're told that Jeconias is the son of Josias. Now look it. See, his name has been removed, Jehoiakim, because he cut up God's word. Again, Revelations 22:19 says, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. The so-called modern-day scholars that cut up the word of God have something to learn when it comes to the sword. Amen? In Matthew 26, verse 52, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, in verse 52, it says, the Word of God says, then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Goliath's head was cut off with his own sword. Jehoiakim was cut out of the very book that he tried to destroy. What will happen to the scholars, the so-called Bible scholars that continue to cut up God's word? Well, some have lost their voice, some for a short period, and some for many years. What have they done with my Lord? Amen. In Luke chapter 1, the Gospel of Luke chapter 1 and verse number 20, the Word of God says, and behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak, because thou believest not my words. And of course, that was referring to Zacharias, amen, the father of John the Baptist, amen, because he didn't believe that God was going to give him and his wife, Elizabeth, a son. Now, during the taping of the John Ankerberg program, and John Ankerberg is a man that's against the King James Bible with a vengeance. John Ankerberg asked Dr. Don Wilkins, head of the New King James Version Translation Committee, a question. Is it true, asked Ankerberg, as Gail Riplinger reported in her best-selling book, New Age Bible Versions, that a number of the scholars who worked on the New Translation Committees lost their voice as punishment by God? Now, before I go on, it mentions that book by Gail Riplinger, New Age Bible Versions. Excellent book. I can recommend it to anyone. It really brings out just what these modern Bible versions are. Nothing but from the devil, amen. I recommend that you get that fine book. Now, as the TV cameras captured the moment, Dr. Wilkins opened his mouth to answer, and nothing came out. No sound. Wilkins kept trying to clear his throat, but he couldn't respond. Ankerberg and the other New Version scholars were visibly startled. Finally, an embarrassed and frightened Wilkins was able to screech out in a crackling, almost inaudible inaudible manner, I've lost my voice. A shocked John Ankerberg ordered the cameras to stop and back up, whereupon Dr. Joseph Chambers, a King James-only advocate, politely protested. He said this, the cameras should record exactly what happened here, Chambers insisted. Later, when the show was aired, the segment was not shown. Now, this has been verified by two men that were at the taping. The above that I just read to you was from a newsletter by Tex Mars and also verified by Dr. Sam Gipp. This is an addition to many other documented cases of the same. In Matthew chapter 23, in verse 14, we read in the Word of God, "Woe unto you scribes," Jesus said this, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." Now tell me, why did they remove what we just read, Matthew 23:14, that verse from the NIV and most other modern translation? This verse is removed. Why is it removed? To cover up their sins. Amen. To cover up their sins. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says there is no fear of God before their eyes. Amen. Again we read, "Behold, and behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, because thou believest not my words." In Luke 1, verse 20. Now, the following that I'm going to give you is from the book New Age Bible Versions by Gail A. Riplinger, on from pages 446 to 449. Now, we read a particular phenomenon kept surfacing during my research into the life of these scribes. Amen? Because that's what Jesus said. We just read that. Did we not? We just read in Matthew 23:14, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation." Now, as we're reading from Gail Riplinger's book, a particular phenomenon keeps resurfacing during my research, she says, into the life of these scribes, these Bible scholars, in other words, so-called Bible scholars. God apparently cut off their power to speak. We see regression, a third system, or a third symptom, which accompanies spirit possession in the Bible, is the inability to speak. It is called a dumb spirit. In Mark 9, verses 17 and 25, and in Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 and 33, Matthew 12:22, Matthew 15, verses 30 and 31. These verses disclose the corresponding frog in the throat that accompanies unclean spirits of this kind. We read in Luke 11, verse 14, "He was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. When the devil was gone out, the dumb spake." Let's look at the Living Bible. The Living Bible by a man called Kenneth Taylor. Amen. In Psalm chapter 12, or Psalm 12, verse 3, the Word of God says, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips in the tongue that speaketh proud things." The popular press has made note of author Kenneth Taylor's loss of ability to talk. Time magazine, July 1972, states, "Mysteriously halfway through the paraphrase, Taylor lost his voice and still speaks in a hoarse whisper. A psychiatrist who examined him suggested that the voice failure was Taylor's psychological self-punishment for tampering with what he believed to be the Word of God." Let's look at the New American Standard Version. Psalm 31, verse 18. These verses I'm reading, by the way, are from the King James Bible, and I'm trying to tie them into what's being said about these men who changed the word of God and how they were silenced by God. Again, Psalm 31:18 says, let the lying lips be put to silence. Also silence was Philip Schaff, collaborator on the New Greek Committee and director of the American Standard Version, which formed the foundation of the New American Standard and the Living Bible. Paralleling Taylor's pathology, Schaff's son finds the same fog in Philip Schaff's throat. Even as early as 1854, the warning was given. His voice so affected that he could not speak in public so as to be heard. Finally, by 1892, the power of articulated speech gone. A friend corresponds to Schaff. It is with great sorrow that I have learned of the affliction which has befallen you. This malady followed his activities with Westcott and Hort on the Revised Version Committee and its American Standard Version. Still in 1893, his pathos deprived him of the power of speech. And then we see the New Greek text with trilogies. Schaff himself writes of S.P. Trilogies, author of a New Greek text, which preceded and strongly influenced the Westcott and Hort version of Trilogies. Schaff writes, he was scarcely able to speak audibly. No accidents with God that he's silencing these fools that try to play around with God's word, amen? Then we want a little bit with look at Westcott and Hort Greek text, which is underlined the Revised Version, the NRSV, the NIV, the NASB, the CEV, the New Century Version, Good News for Modern Man, even the Jehovah's Witness Bible, the book, the Everyday Bible, and all Catholic Bibles. Westcott's biography cites that in 1858, he was quite inaudible. And by 1870, his voice reached few and was understood by still fewer. Amen. Now look with me what it says about the New Testament in modern English by J.P. Phillips. The Word of God says in Proverbs 10:31, the froward tongue shall be cut off. J.B. Phillips tells in his autobiography, I was still doing a fair measure of speaking in schools and in churches until the late summer of 1961. And then quite suddenly, my speaking, writing, and communication powers stopped. So not only this man's speaking, but also his writing and communications powers stopped. I was not in a panic, but I was certainly alarmed. And when a few weeks' rest brought no improvement, I canceled all speaking engagements for the rest of the year. This is at age 55. The Price of Success, the title of his autobiography, is apropos, isn't it? Amen. Then we see the speechless sphinx syndrome can even happen to a believer, as it did to Zacharias, because thou believest not my words, Luke 1:20. Dr. Frank Logsdon was co-founder of the New American Standard Version. As people began confronting him on some of the NASV's omissions and errors, he re-examined the evidence, and this was his own verdict. He said this. Dr. Frank Logsdon said this. I must under God denounce every attachment to the New American Standard Version. I am afraid I'm in trouble with the Lord. I wrote the format. I wrote the preface. I'm in trouble. It's wrong, terribly wrong. It is frighteningly wrong. The deletions are absolutely frightening. There are so many. Are we so naive that we do not suspect satanic deception in all of this? The evidence is clear. Amen. And the things that we've been discussing just skim the surface. Amen. See, the issue comes down to this, my friends, as we talk about the authority of the King James Bible. That's the whole issue today. Is it not authority? It began with Eve in the Garden of Eden. She did not want to come under the authority of the Word of God. Amen. And that's why the devil wants to have all kinds of different authorities, all these different versions, because what it does is create confusion. Therefore, no authority. Amen. So if there's no authority to be under, then people can do what they want. That's the whole issue of having more than one authority. It brings confusion. When you have one authority, and we do have one authority, regardless of what any Bible scholar wants to say, if you are a proclaimed Bible believer, a born-again child of God, and you say you believe the Word of God, then you should have only one authority, and that's the Word of God. And the Word of God for us today, God's inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved, words, we have all of God's words that he wants us to have, is in the King James Bible, or that authorized version, 1611. You know, this wasn't an issue 100 years ago, really. It's only recent, as we've come into this last period of the church age, the Laodicean, where Christians are lukewarm. You know, Amos said that in the end, the last days, there would be a famine in the land, not of a bread or water, but a hearing of the Word of God. Amen. And that's exactly what's going on today, is there's a famine in the land. Famine in the land of really hearing the Word of God, amen. Because these books, these other so-called modern versions, have no power, amen, do they? What was all the great revivals preached out of, all the great revival preachers of yesteryear? They preached out of the AV 1611, amen. What Bible do you think George Washington placed his hand on when he was sworn into office? It was the King James Bible, the AV 1611, amen, that came over from England. Oh, my friends, don't be deceived by the devil and the Bible scholars. See, the Bible scholars want themselves to be set up as the authority over the Word of God. Well, that's all the time today on the Pastor's Study. Thank you for joining me, Brother Gino Cassier.